For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 28th, 1994. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday evening service of May the 28th, 1994, of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Behold, I shall come to you, how? In a thick cloud. Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud. Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud. Daniel is standing there. He sees the Ancient of Days take his seat. He sees the Son of Man coming in what? In the clouds. It's the same word as ananin or something like that. Number 5061 in Strong's Concordance, which means the covering, the holy covering, the divine covering. Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you. Hearing, listening, speaking, cloud, glory. All go together. If you don't hear, if you don't see the cloud, you miss the voice. You miss the glory. You miss the obedience. Furthermore, you can't enter into covenant. It takes the divine moving of God in the way He comes, determined by His word. All right. Moses told all these words to the people. The people says, oh, you go back and tell God we're going to do them all. Now, that's the one bookend, beginning of the Bible, more or less. Turn to Revelations, end of the Bible, chapter 1. When I read Exodus 19:6, you shall be to me a kingdom. What tense is that grammatically? You shall be, it's a future tense. It isn't happening then, it didn't happen back there, it's future. All right. Verse 6, chapter 1, John is talking. He says, He has made us to be a kingdom. He has made us to be... What tense is that? It is the present, complete, perfect tense. He has made, will continue to make, and will continue making us to be a kingdom. Everyone who is a priest, raise your hand. All right. Serious, serious word. A priest holds an office. A priest wears priestly garments. A priest has been anointed with oil. A priest is under the direct aegis and supervision of the high priest. You know who our high priest is by reading Hebrews. We are priests, which means we minister to the Lord of the house so that we can minister to the house of the Lord. It means we take care of the needs of the body of Christ. And we do it because we've been officially appointed and designated as priests. And God sees us and calls us priests. How many of you still are priests? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, you saw us raise our hands. You know that we hardly comprehend the responsibility of the priesthood. Oh, God! The high priest of the universe, let Jesus Christ himself come and direct us in our thoughts, in our priestly ways. Oh God, show us what the order of our priesthood is so we can walk in true holiness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, all right. Now turn with me to Exodus 33. 9 o'clock. I probably should go on for about 5 more minutes. I'll take as long as the Spirit continues to speak through me. All right. To Exodus chapter 40. This is a good place to insert this. I was going to insert it a little later. But we're dealing with your priestly responsibilities. Oh. Sunday morning people know nothing about the priesthood of the believer. Furthermore, the priesthood of the believer is changing. It isn't a priest standing up here spouting or even teaching. It's the priesthood of the believer. It's the priesthood of the believer who can go to a board of education meeting and say, in the name of Jesus, I take control over this thing. Satan, you will get out of here. And I release the people into truth. That's the priesthood. Thank you, Lord. All right. Chapter 40, verse 9. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. If this hasn't gone on in your fellowship at home, in your church, make sure that it goes on. Make sure that the pastor and the elders go through and anoint things. If you haven't done this to your own home, go through your home and anoint the doors and the windows with oil. Plead the blood over every room. Go into every closet. Clean it out. Ask to see the abominable things that might be hidden. Clean it out so there's no contact or point of contact for any devil or curse. Anoint the tabernacle. It says you shall anoint the altar of burnt offering. All the utensils, consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. And you shall anoint the laver and its stand. What does the laver stand for? The Word of God. You are washed by the Word of God. It stands for a lot of things, but that's what I like to apply right away. Then he says, verse 13, you shall put on the holy garments. Oh, Paul says, you must put on Christ. Have you had a lesson on how to put on Christ? Do you know what it costs to put on Christ? When he says, I can't let you clothe that thing. You have to take off your old man. You have to take off the old stuff. You have to go through cleansing over and over. And then you can put on Christ. That's your holy priestly garments. That gives you the authority to move in healing. It gives you the authority to take up your priestly duties. It is from your priestly office that authority flows. It's from your priestly office that you are given the wisdom and insight to know what needs to be done, and how to do it, and to get the power for doing it. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 15. You shall anoint them even as you've anointed their father, speaking of the priests, that they may minister as priests to, what does it say? Me! God says, I want my priest to minister to me. How do we minister to the Father? How? What does he need? He needs us to move in our heart, into his heart, where we say, oh, Father. Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, I love you. Oh, Father, I minister to you. Show me how to minister to your house. But first, I minister to you. Spend time every morning, every evening, ministering to the Lord of the house. Minister to the Father. Get inside Jesus Christ and love Him until everything vanishes from your sight. Minister. Minister to the Father. You do this for a little while, and you'll see, when you look in the mirror with unveiled face, you will behold the glory of the Lord. You will find yourself being transformed into that self-same glory. From glory unto glory, from the glory of the old to the glory of the new, even as from the Lord, the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Tender little ones, if this doesn't make any sense to you, it's all right. It doesn't need to. Just keep saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, clothe me. Yes, Lord, empty me. Yes, Lord, teach me how to minister to you. Don't let this throw you. This isn't deep, but it is steep. And you'll go up a little ways and you'll slide back. God doesn't intend this to be deep and profound theology. He intends for you to see a high on that hill. A God who loves you, who has called you to minister to him. All right, now what's happening in this? Verse 33 says, and he erected the court around the tabernacle. You have just been given a little look at the dedication of the tabernacle in the wilderness. The dedication of the tabernacle in the wilderness. Now, what happens? Verse 34 will tell you exactly what's going to happen. Then, after the anointing, the garmenting, the ministering, then it says, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory, cloud and glory go together, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. If the glory of the Lord isn't filling a church today, it's because they haven't gone through the purification deliverance processes. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. Some of you are going to see the cloud moving, and God's going to move you. Some of you have already been moved. Some of you will sit right where you are, but move the cloud. When the cloud begins to move, what do we say? Rise up, O Lord. Let thine enemies be scattered. Let those that hate thee flee before thee. If you were anywhere near the encampment of Israel, you would have heard such a roar when the cloud began to move. Every head of house stood at the doorway of the tent and said, rise up, O Lord. Rise up, Yahweh. Rise up, center of beingness. We will follow, but first, let your enemies flee before you. If a church is being pestered, it's because they haven't seen the cloud move, or the cloud moved, or they haven't had a cloud. They don't have the glory. The kabod. All right. Throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was fire by night. Oh, God. God, give us fire. God. Oh, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You can talk in tongues, but you don't know how to sizzle. You have to learn how to sizzle and smoke under the burning fire of Almighty God until the anointing flows through you in power. Oh, I want everyone who wants the fire, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, raise your hand. Oh, God. God, you've seen your people. Encourage, raise their hands. Come and covenant wonder and beauty and sizzle us. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Say, I receive it. I receive it. All right. Turn to 2 Chronicles 5:1. 2 Chronicles 5:1. Thank you, Lord. You noticed when Moses finished the tabernacle, he said it's finished. It's real obvious from the Hebrew that it says, and we finished all the work of the tabernacle. It's finished. Verse 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, thus all the work that Solomon performed for the house of the Lord, building that temple, was what? Finished. You can hear Solomon stand there in a great prophetic word and say, it is finished. It is finished. Then comes all of the priestly assignments and anointings. Verse 11. And when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests were present, and sanctified themselves without regard to division, sanctified themselves, oh, Christians, seek God's face about sanctification. Seek God's face about sanctification. Sanctification isn't just taking care of bad thoughts. Sanctification is the setting apart of you for the office of your priesthood so you can function in the authority to which God has assigned you. Sanctification is the setting in place. I'd like to see groups like this take young people, old people, and set them in place, so they can function in the fivefold ministry, or the sevenfold ministry, or the tenfold ministry, so they can function. Sanctification. All right. Verse 12. All of the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, led by Bill Goodson. I say that with real seriousness. I watch him as he trains these people. Oh, people, this is so essential. You watch him in his priesthood. Watch him, all right. Cymbals, harps. They were standing east of the altar, and with them, how many priests? How many? 120? Surely that's a wonderful coincidence, isn't it? 120. That's mentioned again when a temple was being erected. There were 120 that were functioning there in some way or another because the temple was about to be dedicated. All right. 120. They were in unison. That's pretty unusual. The trumpeters and singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and glorify the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, and His mercy is everlasting, then the house of the Lord was what? Filled with a cloud. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know you not, if you tear down this temple in 3 days, I'll raise up another temple. Oh, come, tarry in Jerusalem until you are filled with power and set in place to minister in this new temple. Can you see that this thing was happening in Jerusalem? And it says, the Lord came in the cloud and filled the temple. Fill the temple. Well, He indeed is good. Say, the Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Oh, hallelujah. He doesn't say that very good. Oh, hallelujah. Yah is His name. Yah is His name. You could hear the Jews out there in the desert saying, Yah. Yah. And then hear the minstrel saying, now say, Hallel, we praise you. Hallel, ooh, yeah. The whole camp would shiver under the glory of the revealed presence of God. That's why we say, Hallelujah. It's because we've learned to say, we praise you. Oh, wonderful one, whose name is Yah or Yahweh. Learn His name. Don't be afraid to go in your room and say, is it okay if I call you Yah tonight, Father? His favorite name is Father. Don't be mistaken. But there are times when we approach Him in the understanding of our ministry to Him, when we approach Him as Yahweh, when we approach Him as Lord, when we approach Him with an unspeakable name where He simply transmits power through us in order to set people free of bondage. Sometimes it's Jehovah Rapha or whatever for healing or for supply. Thank you, Lord. It says in verse 14, the priests could not stand. The priests could not stand because of the glory of the Lord. I was in a group of about 7,000 of us ministers, and it was a shepherd's conference. Some of you may have been there. But Charlie Simpson, who has a wonderful sense of humor, got up to tell some jokes while he was making the announcements. When he got halfway through the first announcement, he said, oh, you never saw such a sight. Every pastor, every bigwig on the platform fell like they were struck by lightning. Boom! Down they went. Every one of us, all 5,000, 7,000 of us, immediately took our shoes off. No one said anything. We slipped out and fell to the floor in absolute, abject wonder. And there went over that great auditorium a sound like you never heard. The glory of the Lord was moving. It was the last time the shepherds ever met. The Lord, by that act of enormous glory, wiped out a movement that was discrediting Himself. And He set these men along other ways. It was wonderful to see and precious. Too bad they didn't just continue. God wants now for us to become aware of what this is. Now we'll go to Exodus 33 for just a minute. And with this, I'm going to begin to think about closing. I am not under a constraint of time. I'm under a constraint of sweat, but not time. And I do need a drink of water. That sounds like a wonderful idea. Oh, hallelujah. Exodus chapter 33. The Lord wants to begin to deal with you in the area of His presence and of His leadership. I want you to look at Exodus 33, verse 9. Whenever Moses entered the tent, what would descend? The pillar of cloud. This is cloud in its unique form for guidance, but it was cloud nonetheless. And they would gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. All right, and the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. Verse 12. Pardon? Oh. All right. Thank you, dear. I just feel so strongly drawn to what the Lord is saying. I don't want you to miss even a word. Then the Lord said, Moses said to the Lord, Lord, he didn't say Lord. Yes, he did, sort of. See, thou dost say to me, bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, Lord, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways. Let me know thy ways. Israel could know his acts, but Moses had to know his ways. People, don't settle for stale stories of wonderful things that happened long ago. Seek God to know how He operates. Seek to know His ways. It's not enough. You have to enter into the heart of God and pursue Him for His ways. Oh, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor in thy sight. And consider, too, this nation is thy people. Several times God called them Moses' people, and Moses says, they're your people, God. When you've been given an assignment, and you have to know how to do it, and you say, oh, God, I have to know your ways, then God will tell you what is written in verse 14. But only when you are properly sanctified and consecrated and in covenant relationship, God says to him, my presence will go with you, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. Can you hear someone saying, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Then Moses said to him, okay, God, that's fine. If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. Oh, don't be presumptuous in the way you follow the Lord. Make sure you follow Him in rest. Make sure you have understood His ways. And then see to it that He's the one who's doing the leading. All right. Just don't lead us from here. Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing of which you have spoken. I will do this thing of which you have spoken. For you have found favor in my sight. I have known you by name. He knows us all by name. And don't get the idea he calls me George. Sometimes he calls me Precious. I love that, whoever he was talking about. Oh, that was part of Ralph's wonderful, Precious. Oh, I love that. Precious. It's all right, when you get up, you can hear the Lord say, hi, Precious. Get up now, and I'll teach you your name, which I have written in your forehead from the beginning of time. And it will help you understand and discern my ways. All right, he says, I will do this thing, for I've known you. Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy kabod. Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory. Say that. Show me thy glory.
Show me thy glory.
Now say, show us thy glory.
Show us.
God, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Now listen to what God says. Because this is not an answer to Moses. This is an answer to the church of the living God. This is an answer to your very heart. And this is the way God always shows his glory. He said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of Yahweh, of the Lord, before you. Here's God saying, I'm going to proclaim my name before you. You know that when God pronounces his name, all existence in the heart of God breaks forth in manifestation through those who can trust him. This is the way he functions. He teaches us to hear him as he says his name. Some of you haven't experienced the burning bush yet. You haven't walked up and said, boy, this is a big mystery. Lake Hamilton right here is a burning bush experience for most people. And if you watch the new ones come in, you'll see the curiousness in their face saying, hey, what is this? I think it must be a fire, but it isn't burning up. Oh, it's kind of burning me up. And it's the bush out of which God's great name proceeds. And that name is written into our heart in Christ Jesus. He says, now, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. Proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Then he said to Moses, don't get mixed up now. You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. You cannot see my face. Something real wonderful is beginning to happen. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And the rock that followed them was what? Christ. There is a rock right here, and its name is Christ. And furthermore, I will hide you in the cleft of that rock. I will tuck you away out of sight. I will cover you with my hand, and I'll cause my glory to pass before you. Why do you think we sing, Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be for me the double cure. Oh, Yili Karabashanda. He says, I'm going to set you on the rock. I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. I will put you so deep into Jesus that nothing can harm you. Moses didn't understand it, but Paul understood it. This rock is available. Show us your glory. There's a place by me and I'll put you on the rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. And I'll teach you about the drinking. You talk to the rock and out of its innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And I will build my church on that rock. And you will flow and water will flow out of you. Oh, can you believe this? Can you hear God saying, oh, come in. Come to this rock. Let me hide you in the rock. You know what it cost God himself to cleft that rock. Oh, if we could only know. If we could only see it. All right. There's a place by me. And you'll stand there on the rock. It will come about that while my glory is passing by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but you shall not see my face. Show me your glory. You can't see my face, Moses. But I'll set you on the rock. Now, with this, I am going to close. I've run out of sweat. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, God. Chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, let there be light, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this is what God said, I'm going to do. I will set you on the rock. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. And when I remove the scales from your eyes, you'll see the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Is it any wonder that Paul says, "Oh, the glory of the depth of the wisdom and power of God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the glory of the wisdom and knowledge of God." Glory. He is calling us. He's calling us to repent until such a time as he can begin once again to talk to his church about glory. He is preparing a people to take care of the demonic filth. He's taking up a people just like you when he said to Ezekiel, "I want you to go now to the city. I want you to dig in the wall. I'll show you a doorway. Now, dig in the doorway." And he dug in there, King James says, and he entered the chambers of imagery where all the abominations were inscribed in that temple room. He says, "No, we'll clean that stuff out." The chambers of imagery and what is passing for the church today has not been cleaned out. He's raising up a people to do that. But he's raising up a people also who are hungry for the glory of the Lord, for the revealed presence of the Lord, for the authority processes by which the Word of God becomes living and active in a nation. We are about to see the greatest revival that ever struck the earth. But it will come, and it will only come as the glory of the Lord is revealed in the cloud of the presence. The disciples said, "Are you going to come in the cloud, Lord? Are you the coming one? Are you the cloudy one?" One of his names was the cloudy one. He says, "Yes, of course, I'm going to come in the clouds. And the sun will be darkened. And the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall." On the day of Pentecost, they said, "What is all this commotion? What's this?" Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel in the last days. 2,000 years ago, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons will have visions, your old men dream dreams, or vice versa. It doesn't make any difference. But the summary of that is, and the sun will be dark, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall." Peter was saying, this is the day when the Lord anoints his tabernacle with his presence. He comes to invest his body with his very life, so it can be called the body. That's not just a name. That's the reality of God's intention. And in it is the mind of Christ. And the church doesn't know enough to say, "I have the mind of Christ." And to know that doesn't mean a bunch of Sunday school stories. It means hearing day by day whether to move to the right or to the left. It's the revealed authority processes. Oh, I like what Dr. Bill said the other day after I spouted for a while and got all hot and bothered. He said, in his next presentation, and there's a price for this. You want this? You want the cloud to fill your life with the manifest presence of Jesus? You want this Father God to take you and stuff you in the cleft of the rock? You want to be cleft of the rock Christians? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot. It'll cost you cleansing. It's going to cost you time in the morning saying, "God, come on now. Show me your glory. Show me your glory." Oh, this is what he wants. Just stand with me. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Could we sing, "Show Me Your Glory, O Lord"? You know that one? Show me your glory, O Lord. Anything about glory? Anybody? Yeah. Be the minstrel. Let God just flow through you. Because this is the time now. The cloud has begun to move. The eyes of your understanding being opened.
Come, let us move all together as we follow where he leads. New life you will receive. Move with the cloud. The cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. The cloud. let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let us move on together as we follow where we lead. New life you will receive. Move with the cloud. Move in the heart. Let your spirit arise and your faith be renewed. Come, let us move all together as we follow where we lead. New life you will receive. Move in the cloud. Move in the cloud.
Move with the cloud.
Hallelujah.
Move with the cloud.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.